This is the 2017 State House Podcast, brought to you by South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications and the South Dakota Bar Foundation. Here's Kara Hetland with a rundown of today's top legislative news in Pierre.
A measure that requires South Dakota high schools teach students CPR is on its way to the Senate floor. The Health and Human Services Committee passed Senate Bill 140 unanimously. Chrissy Meyer is the communications director for the South Dakota chapter of the American Heart Association. She says the bill creates a safer society by adding more than 11,000 CPR-trained young adults to the community each year.
As soon as you see someone collapse, stepping in to perform CPR regardless is what needs to happen. And so we don't train them to, we're not training them to be doctors. We're not training them to be nurses. We're training them to act in the situation. And what we know is that it's absolutely critical that someone step in. And you're not going to hurt someone by performing CPR if it's unneeded. You're not going to cause damage. If you don't do something, that's where problems happen.
The bill requires students to learn hands-only CPR. Studies found that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation is unnecessary while performing CPR. Members of a State House panel are not requiring a private school scholarship fund to make donors' names public. As SDPB's Keely Boltina reports, the House Education Committee voted to kill House Bill 1125.
July 1st marked the start of a program that allows insurance companies to remit fewer tax dollars to the state. They now receive a credit for donations to an organization that awards private school scholarships to low-income children. State Representative Herman Otten references the measure that created the program, last year's Senate Bill 159.
Right now, taxes off your insurance premiums and annuities are all paid to the state in the general fund. Senate Bill 59 carved out $2 million of that to go to this scholarship granting organization. I contend that there should be full disclosure with that.
House Bill 1125 makes the list of donors public. Otten and other supporters say people should know which companies contribute to private school scholarships because the state misses out on that money in taxes. Opponents say publicizing donors could deter companies from donating to the scholarship fund. They say it's enough that the state's Division of Insurance and Auditor General receive full reports, including donor names. Members of the House Education Committee voted 10-5 to kill House Bill 1125. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Keely Boltina in Sioux Falls.
The House State Affairs Committee voted unanimously for a bill that creates a technical education board. The bill follows approval on Amendment R. Voters approved it in November. Senate Bill 65 creates a 9-person board to oversee the South Dakota Technical Institute system. The governor appoints several members, and the technical schools choose the remainder. The bill transfers authority held by the Department of Education and local school boards and gives it to the newly formed board. Will Mortensen spoke for the bill. He says the board doesn't want more power, just to continue governing at ground level.
The explicit retention of local control, it states, and I quote, "The local governing body of each post-secondary technical institute shall retain all powers not expressly given to the board," end quote. That means that if you don't see it in this bill, the state board does not have it. The key for my folks, the technical institutes, is that there does not become a Leviathan in Pierre. The last thing they want is a bunch of folks here in an office in Pierre breathing down their necks and telling them how to do the work that they've been doing so well during their decades of stewardship over post-secondary technical education in South Dakota.
There was no public testimony against the bill. Senate Bill 65 goes on to the House floor. The House State Affairs Committee passed a bill that provides transparency to the ballot process. The bill provides time for comment on initiated measures and constitutional amendments. SDPB's Levi Gutz has more.
Following some amendments, House Bill 1130 passed by an 8-4 vote with one excused. The bill provides public comment to be given on the Secretary of State's website. Supporters say it does not take away from the initiated measures or constitutional amendment approval process. It just provides a forum for more information. The measure also establishes hearings about potential measures. Supporters say these hearings are similar to the legislative's committee system. They are run by an executive board and offer perspectives on measures citizens will vote on. Representative Don Hager is the bill's main sponsor. He says the bill's point is providing information.
The purpose of the bill is to enhance the initiative process with more information for the public. That's the purpose of the bill. And the reason that I think that's important is because under our current process, when an initiative is brought forth or a constitutional amendment is brought forth, really the first sort of public information you hear about is simply in the campaign. At no point does the legislature weigh in officially, you know, whatsoever.
Opponents voiced some concerns regarding a waiting period, but they were mostly resolved by a series of amendments. The bill goes on to the House floor. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Levi Gutz.
The House Judiciary Committee kills a bill that adjusts the state's open records law. House Bill 1166 mandates local and state governments cannot make civil or criminal settlements between them and any other party a sealed record without a court order. The bill also applies to school district settlements. David Bordewick with the South Dakota Newspaper Association says certain state contracts are already posted online on a public website thanks to a law passed 7 years ago, and that settlements should be no different. Representative Greg Jamison from Sioux Falls is the bill's chief sponsor. He says he brought the legislation as a reaction to the settlement between Sioux Falls and contractors over faulty siding at the Sanford Premier Center. The agreement was not made public.
People made up their own conclusions about what happened. Who was to blame? Who was hiding something? And who was getting away with something? It created a cloud around the good people involved in the settlement. Their first reaction was not, oh, well, I'm sure they did what was best. People wanted answers. It's a $115 million building. Good, bad, or ugly, it's the people's money. And they deserve to know.
Opponents of the legislation say the bill does not improve transparency. Jessica Filler from the Bureau of Administration says it makes it harder for affected parties to move forward.
Consider an employment discrimination claim or a sexual harassment claim. If a governmental entity is settled with that claimant, sometimes the claimant says, I want to end my employment with you, but I want to go and seek other employment. I don't want this following me around. I don't want any potential employers knowing that I have some employment discrimination claim going on because I think it'll hinder my chances at future employment. So that is an example of again, where it's not always the government trying to hide facts. And it's also not always when a governmental entity pays a large sum of money.
Filler says taking the step of requiring a court order could be costly for people trying to settle claims due to filing fees. The House Judiciary Committee voted to send House Bill 1166 to the 41st legislative day. A Senate bill that delays implementation of voter-approved ballot measures to July 1st is headed to the House floor. Proponents say current law hardly gives entities impacted by a ballot measure time to react. Opponents say it's too long for implementing. SDPB's Lee Strubinger has the report.
When voters approved the 36% interest rate cap in November, the payday loan industry had 8 days to prepare for the change. The same for state agencies impacted by Marcy's Law, the Crime Victims Rights Amendment, and initiated Measure 22, a campaign ethics and lobbying reform package. House Minority Leader Spencer Halley says he likes the concept of delaying implementation of a ballot measure, but with a shorter time frame.
Our normal time frame of our bills, when we pass them, they go in effect 3 to 4 months out, and we're saying that gives agencies time to get ready for the new bill in the new year, and I would have felt totally fine if we'd have been willing to accept that, but I think July 1st is way too far out.
Hawley offered up an amendment preventing emergency clauses on legislation addressed at ballot measures, but it was voted down. An emergency clause was attached to the bill to repeal IM-22. The emergency clause prevents voters from referring the law to a public vote. But Speaker of the House, Mark Mickelson, says the delay means emergency clauses won't be needed.
One of the benefits of the July 1st date is then anything that the legislature might deem worthy of considering to amend or alter or fix an initiated a ballot initiative would not require an emergency clause.
Mickelson says delaying the measure gives lawmakers a chance to fix any constitutional concerns a bill may have. A separate bill requiring 50% of ballot measure signatures coming from at least 33 counties in South Dakota was tabled indefinitely. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Lee Strupinger in Rapid City.
The House Judiciary Committee approves a bill that clarifies who can apply for a protective order. House Bill 1113 adds a clause to state law giving someone a year after the end of a significant romantic relationship to apply for protection. The court defines a significant romantic relationship by three factors: length of time, frequency of interactions between the two people, and the type and characteristics of the relationship. Wayne Van Huysen is a prosecutor in Pennington County. He says the challenge provides clear guidance for law enforcement and gives more assistance to victims.
It provides greater protection for domestic violence victims when they're most in danger. And the research, I think some of you are aware of this, the research shows that when there's a recent breakup, the danger, the lethality risk to the domestic violence victim increases significantly. And so that's something that we take into account when arguing bond. This adds that clarity that if they are in a significant romantic relationship or have recently been in one during the past 12 months, it's clear for law enforcement that's a DV.
Van Huysen says the 12-month timeline is a uniform standard that can be applied equally statewide. No opponents testified during the hearing. With 12 do pass votes, the measure goes to the State House floor.
You can keep up with the top legislative news every day by listening to the 2017 State House Podcast. For additional programming of South Dakota Public Broadcasting and for more radio news, visit us online at sdpb.org. Additionally, download the free sd.net app on your mobile device. This will keep you up to date with committee meetings, floor sessions, agendas, and more during this year's legislative session. Be sure to also connect with us on social media by liking South Dakota Public Broadcasting News on Facebook and by following at SDPB News on Twitter. Funding is provided in part by SDN Communications and the South Dakota Bar Foundation. This has been a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.